So, walking before the Lord. By the way, this is so very personal to me. I am very much challenged, seriously, I'm not even just saying that. I mean, I really am challenged again and again as I think about these things of aspiring to do this very thing. But it seems like it's something we have to take to heart. There has to be like a purposefulness about it. I think you would agree, naturally, we just go about life without very much thought that His gaze is always upon us, that everything that we do is in His sight. And if we did do that, we'd probably make better decisions. But we just, it's not, there's not that natural awareness. Obviously, it's not a question of Him seeing us, but it's of us being continuously conscious of it, that He sees me, and I know it, and I own it, each and every day and throughout the day. I didn't think I was going to say this. My wife will like, oh boy, here he goes. But I skipped over that right before Genesis 15 is Hagar. She gives that wonderful name to the Lord. Not too many people get to give names to the Lord, if I could say it that way. But she names the Lord El Roi, which means you are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me. That we know that we, again, own it each and every day and throughout the day. I mean, we would easily assent to the truth of all things being in His sight. And of course, that would include ourselves. But when we give intelligent thought to what it really means for us to walk before Him, I think we're invited to consider a daily and hourly, and boy, there's something to aspire to, even a moment by moment consciousness of His gaze upon us. I know for the sake of time, I'm not going to get to it, but it comes to mind now just as I think about the Savior, that when He was here, how He walked before His Father constantly. There was just a constant consciousness of the Father's gaze upon Him as He, and then of course the Father breaks out even from heaven to say, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But just that the Lord, when He was here, He walked this life day by day with a constant awareness of His Father's gaze upon Him. And of course, constantly pleasing Him, blameless before Him. That we should aspire to this. It seems so very fitting. Both Michelle and I were moved years ago by a book. Some of you perhaps know the book. It's called The Pursuit of God. By Tozer. It's just powerful. If you haven't read that, he grabs a hold a bit of this by speaking to the Christian, saying, God wills that we should push on into His presence and live our whole life there. This is to be known to us in conscious experience. It is to be more than a doctrine to be held. It is a life to be enjoyed every moment of every day. At the heart of the Christian message is God Himself waiting for His redeemed children to push into conscious awareness of His presence, of His gaze upon us. Seems very desirable to me, right? To be in His presence. We know the kinds of things that come with that. And if I'm more aware of His presence and more in His presence and of His gaze, what are the things that I find there? We read things like Psalm 16:11, in Your presence is fullness of joy. Well, I want joy in my life. Let me walk consciously in His sight and enjoy that. Another place, Psalm 21:6, You have made Him exceedingly glad with Your presence. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3, they rejoice in Your presence. Oh, this seems very desirable to me. even for, yes, it's what's due to God. It is what's due to God that I should walk before Him and be blameless. It's due to Him. But just the way God works, it just the way God works, He's always, His heart is so full and so generous. He's so rich, and He's just looking for those opportunities in which He can just bless us. Because that's just the way He is. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel, but I'm talking about a good and loving God who's well able to pour out things like joy and peace, gladness and contentment and all kinds of blessings upon us. So let's get practical then. How can I do this? How can I really do this? It would seem to me that one of the most practical ways to accomplish this is to be in conversation with Him. And this is what we're going to talk about. This is just that it just seems such an easy way to move forward and make progress in this is to be in conversation with Him. And that in an ever-increasing way. To hear Him speak and to speak to Him. To speak to Him. Prayer. To really talk to Him, you know? To really talk to Him. To do it more and more so that throughout the day we are truly in conversation with God. As soon as I say this, I see my notes. I'm like, I'm feeling the challenge again myself. I want to do more of this, to be in conversation with God throughout the day. What a way to truly walk before Him. And if we are to see the truth of this, we're going to have to recognize that our conversation, our prayer, is going to have to extend beyond times of need. We've got to be a little more well-rounded. We've got to be a little bit more mature in our prayer life. At some point, we have to make advances in that and not just be calling out to Him and speaking to Him in time of need. I mean, it's good. We should speak to Him in time of need. And woe to us if we're not calling out to Him and offering up our prayer when we are in desperate need of something. The Lord knows this too. Hosea chapter 5 says, in their affliction, speaking of Israel, they will earnestly seek me. Lord, in trouble, Isaiah 26:16. Lord, in trouble, they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. And so when there is a sense of need from Him and a sense of I need His help, I need His direction, I need His protection. And it should be very natural. Hopefully it's very natural for us to just call up to a prayer like Peter, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. You know, or Nehemiah is great. He's a man of prayer. But when he comes before the king and the king asks him, he says, I quickly pray to the God of heaven. You know, that when that need is before us, that it's very natural. It's very natural for us to pray. Sometimes we're not even there yet. We're not even there yet in our maturity, that process that we've come to a place where it is natural. I sense the need, I call out to God. But that should be developed in us as dear children of Father in heaven. It should be a part of our life. And the Lord wanting this relationship, the Lord wanting this conversation, if this is really the only time that He gets us to talk to Him, then logically you can see what He's going to do, right? You could see what He's going to do. He wants this relationship. He wants us to walk before Him. And instrumental in that is conversation with Him. And if the only time I really talk to Him is when I am in need, you know what He's going to do. Well, time to bring some more trouble into that child of mine's life, because it's the only way they talk to me. It's the only way they talk to me. And so He brings in the difficulty and He brings in the trouble, and we turn to Him. And that's good that we do, but We want to go beyond this. We want to mature beyond just reaching out to him in time of need. Actually, you know, when I think about time of need, before we even consider other parts of conversation with him, before I even move on past the time of need, we probably, even if our prayer life is well-rounded and mature, we probably are more in need than we realize. You know, we probably, even though we do what we're going to talk about, these other areas of prayer and conversation with God, even if that's a part of our life, we probably still need to make advances in our understanding of how much we need him and how much I really need to be calling out to him in probably even the most simplest and uneventful scenarios of life. The perfect way to put this, some of you have heard of Robert Chapman. He wrote, "In the least matters, what need there is of looking upwards? I ought not to write a note without looking up to God." In this day and age, probably say an email, right? Or a text. "I ought not to write a note without looking up to God, seeking his help. For I can write folly enough in one sentence to cause myself and others disquietude for months." Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Sometimes in the most simplest ways, we can cause so much trouble for ourselves and others simply because we have not sought the help that God would be willing to give us if we just asked him. So maybe there's a sense in which there's a place to talk about maturing even in regard to need, that I ought to see myself, and that would increase my conversation with him, you know, if I found myself more needy, more in tune with my need than previously, so that I'm talking to him about everything. Sometimes I just think about if you're with someone, like if you have a friend who's very knowledgeable about things. Let's say you go to Home Depot, and you've got a friend with you who knows everything about that. You know, and you're doing things and you're making decisions, but you're not talking to him. I mean, like, that just seems foolish, you know? You've got someone with you that knows everything, and all you need to do is just ask him, "Do you think this is the right thing? Or is this the right direction to go?" And the more sensitive we are to the one in whose sight we are walking and who we can just converse with at any time, who knows everything, maybe I might sense more of a need for that. But let's go beyond that. Let's talk about what other ways can I converse with him and see myself talking with him more frequently throughout the day. Now, these things are just like, they're elementary. I know. Thankfulness. Brothers and sisters, like, there's so much for us to be thankful for. There's so much for us to be thankful for. Just look around. In every place, in every way, there are things in which we see the goodness of God and the provision of God and the protection of God. And even all those requests that we make of him, when he gives those things to us, ought we not to return and give thanks for that which we've called out for in our time of need? Oh, there's so much. And if I was more in tune with a thankful spirit, it would cause me to converse with him more. It would bring me into more of a consciousness that throughout the day I am walking in his sight because I'm talking to him. I'm giving thanks to him. We know that famous passage in Philippians that says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God." Now, did I read that the right way? I didn't read that the right way. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Oh, like, I want this in my life more. I want to be more aware, more sensitive to those things that I can easily give thanks for. And just talk to him. What a way to progress very practically in a consciousness that I am walking and I'm living this life under his gaze because I'm talking to him, giving thanks to him. Another area, again, these things are, you know these things, but supplication for others. Supplication for others. Oh, as much as I want to say, brothers and sisters, there's so many things to give thanks for. I want to say the same thing here. Brothers and sisters, there's so much need out there. There's so much pain. There's so much difficulty. There's people need us to be praying for them. And there's just opportunity. I was talking about these things one place, and a sister talked about how she said, you know, I wash the dishes. I can pray while I wash the dishes. I can supplicate for people that I know that are going through difficulties. I can pray on their behalf during that time. So much need. So many people going through so much. And even if it's not dreadful and difficult things, just pray good things. Like, Father, I pray that you would fill them with all joy and peace and believing so that they could just abound in hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. You know, someone comes up to you in heaven and says, you know, you prayed that for me? Thank you for that. That was a great prayer to pray for me. You prayed that I would be filled with all the fullness of God. You prayed that I would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that I could walk worthy of him and be fully pleasing to him. Thank you for that, for praying for that while you were mowing the lawn. Praying always with all prayer, says Paul in Ephesians, and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, you could feel the challenge, right? You could feel the challenge of the need that's there and the part that the Lord would have me to play in that. So there's another area that would help increase our conversation and practically help us to walk before him, conscious of his gaze upon us, because we're constantly lifting up others and their needs. Now here's another one. Worship. Worship. Now this is a fun one. Worship. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, 7 times a day I praise you. Now, I need to get up to that number, right? Let me see if I can get up to 7 times a day that my voice is heard on high. My voice goes up and my thoughts go up. My heart goes up. And there, being aware of his gaze upon me, I just praise him. I just worship him. Again, doing perhaps the most mundane thing is just going on a walk, perhaps. And you just lift up a little voice of praise to him. I love, there was a brother that wrote a book. The whole emphasis of the book was just how to live your life in a constant awareness of the presence of God. And he would say this way, if anyone aspires to this, let him then think of God the most he can. Let him accustom himself by degrees. And I like to just pause there, because lest anyone should be overwhelmed or discouraged by the challenge of what we're thinking on, that little phrase, by degrees, is so important. Brothers and sisters, like, there's no need for us to be discouraged. We may realize that we're aspiring to much here, but by degrees we make advances. Just in time, we just take a little more ground and we grow a little bit more. It's all just one step at a time. We make progress, and it's so sobering, rightly so, to understand things that way. Just let us make a little bit more progress today than we did yesterday. So he says, let him accustom himself by degrees to this small but holy exercise. No one will notice it, what he's going to say here. No one will notice it, and nothing is easier than to repeat often in the day these little internal adorations. That is a lovely phrase there. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to put that quote into my notes. Little internal adorations. You know, we could do that. We could do that anytime throughout the day, multiple times a day, just these, no one even noticed that we're doing it, but just these little internal adorations, these praises to God, this worship to God. Even singing. I mean, you may not want to sing out loud for others. I don't know whatever the Lord's willing to help with some, but we know one brother, he just can't sing at all. It's horrible. I have a hard time singing when he's close to me singing. But maybe that's just the way it is. But just the Lord loves it. Just sing in your car and no one's else there. I don't know. But just that there's this attitude of praise and worship, and it even breaks into just singing a song. Make up a melody. Make up your words. They may not be worthy of the black book or something, but it just sing, you know, because your heart is filled with a worshipfulness and a praise for Him, and you tell Him that, but then all of a sudden you're just, next thing you know, you're singing some song, maybe it's something that you know. We have to be purposeful. We have to be determined. We have to be disciplined if we're going to make advances like this. I'd love to recognize that any one of us, wherever we are spiritually, to whatever degree we have grown and matured, how did we get there? Because we were purposeful. Because we were determined. Because we were disciplined. Yes, because of the grace of God and His help, and He is for us. But we had to try. We had to exert effort to even get to where we are now. And nothing is different as we look to advance. We must be purposeful. We must be disciplined. We must be perhaps self-sacrificial. The same things that got us to where we are in our place of maturity now, they're still required of us if we want to advance further. So all these things, does this not seem to be a definite and practical way for us to live our life in constant conscious awareness of His gaze upon us? Does this not seem to be a way in which we might truly walk before Him? Let us speak to Him. Let us speak to Him. Like I said, I am feeling the challenge of this myself. I want to do better. And then to hear Him speak to us. To let Him speak. So, you know, a good conversation is two people, right? It's a going back and forth. And so if I really want conversation with God, I have to give Him a chance to say something. And how do I do that? How do I give God a chance to speak? I open up this beautiful book, this brilliant book, and I read it. And I read it again, and I meditate it. I remember there's a couple of brothers, two separate brothers. It's funny because I couldn't remember who it was that told me this. And then I realized why I couldn't remember who it was that told me this, because it was two brothers that told me this, and no wonder I was confused. But they both had a story where they were at work, and someone asked them, "What are you reading these days?" And they said, "Well, I'm reading the Bible." And the response was, "Didn't you already read that?" Yes, I have already, and I'm reading it again. This is not an ordinary book, right? To let God speak to us, to be absolutely devoted to this book, to love this book, to read Psalm 119 and say, "I relate to this guy. I relate to the passion of this guy for the Word of God, for the testimonies of God. My heart is kindred to this one who writes in such a way as this." Because there has to come a point in time in our life, and this is like, if I had a hobby horse of some sort, this would probably be it. I could go on for a while about this. We have to just come to a place where we are devoted to this book. You don't want to get to heaven and run into, I just heard Keith Kaiser did all these lessons on Amos. I don't know if they read the whole thing, but you don't want to get to heaven and meet Amos, and Amos say to you, "How did you like my book?" And you say, well, I never got around to reading it, you know. And there was a dear brother who's now with the Lord, Alan Shetlick. He used to tell that all the time, and I would just laugh every time when he would say it. He'd pick a different minor prophet usually and say it. But then I thought about it. One beyond that is to have the Lord Jesus Christ himself come up to you and say, how did you like my book? Brothers and sisters, we do not want to face that question in heaven if we've never read the Bible, there has to come a point in time where we're devoted to this book and that we let God speak to us. Sometimes it's like the conversation is just, some Christians perhaps are very good at praying. And oh, they'll call out to God and they'll talk to God and they'll lift up every request to God. And God might be able to say something like, you know, I appreciate that you're talking to me, but can you let me say something? Can you let me say something? Open up my book and let me speak to you. Oh, the things that God wants to say to us. Oh, the things that God wants to say to us if we would just give him a chance. And sometimes we don't even get it. Like we were talking about the furnace that goes past, and the torch that passes through the pieces with Abram. I still don't understand exactly what that means. And so there certainly is going to be times when we're coming across passages we don't quite understand, but we just keep reading, and understanding does come. It does come. In time we learn, and things that used to be unfamiliar and mysterious to us, we've come to get an understanding about those things. Because we've been devoted to this book and we've given God the chance to speak to us and to teach us. We can't have just this one-sided conversation where I'm speaking to God, but I really don't let him speak to me too much. I know what he wants to say. It's not just, brothers and sisters, right? It's not just exhortation. It's not just he wants to speak to us about things that would bring conviction. This book is meant to comfort us. This book is meant to encourage us. This book is meant that our faith, by means of it, should grow. That there should be strength here. That we should know God by means of this book. All the things that he would say to us. The things that he would teach us. Oh, I feel like I mean, what an advantage it is to know what God has said. I think about the tribulation. People are going through the tribulation. There are righteous people. There are people who are trusting in God, and they're in the midst of the tribulation, but they don't know what God has said about the tribulation. And there's death all around, and there's evil all around, and they have no concept at all that God has said, hey, this is only for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, I'm coming. That's why I believe the passage where the Lord says, he who endures to the end shall be saved, is speaking about that. Listen, this has a period of time that I have designated for it, but then it comes to an end. And when it comes to an end, I'm coming. Now, some Christian, I don't believe the church will be here for that. Someone who's trusting in God during that time period comes to find that out. They say, well, that makes a huge difference. I didn't know that this, I thought this was just going to keep going. Same thing with Israel and Babylon. Like, someone comes along and says, hey, you know what? This is only for 70 years. Oh, really? Yeah, then he's bringing us home. Really? Yeah, and guess what? It's been about 70 years. I mean, what a difference it makes to know what God has said in the midst of things. Oh, what a disadvantage we are if we're not letting him speak to us. But if I really am going to do this, there has to be a purposefulness to it. There has to be a discipline to it. And then not only just reading it, but, oh, I love this part, right? And knowing it. Not only reading it, but knowing it. Knowing it well enough that even without the printed word in front of us, we know what he has said. And the Spirit of God brings it to mind more and more as we mature. Oh, what a blessed place that is. What a blessed place that is, that I am so familiar with the Word of God that I don't even need to have the printed Word in front of me. It's here, and it's here, and the Spirit of God can bring it to mind. Oh, man, that's a beautiful thing. It's him speaking. It's conversation. And it brings me into a conscious awareness that I am living my life before Him because I'm constantly hearing Him speak to me. What a place of joy and strength, peace and hope to find that whatever the day requires, whatever the day may surprise us with, even today, there's the Lord. There's the Lord. We're just walking with Him. We're walking before Him. We're sober. It's not like we enter into some difficult circumstance and someone has to remind us about the Lord, or someone has to remind us of what He has said, or someone has to come along and encourage us to pray. Like, we're already there. I was just talking to the Lord like 5 minutes ago, and then this happened. I was just remembering what the Lord said, and now this has happened. The Lord is right there. He's right there. And what a difference it can make. Because our way of life is to be walking before Him. And more we find ourselves aware of His gaze in every moment. Now, of course, there was a little more to what, and I've already gone off to the side on a few things, so I don't know how far we're going to get, but there was, I have to at least do this, because there was a little more to what God told Abram. It wasn't just walk before Him. It was walk before Him and be blameless. This may be the very reason we aren't prepared to walk before Him, because we aren't prepared to be blameless. Certainly, if I really have no sincere interest in being blameless, you know, it's not just for elders, right? It's not just for elders. The first requirement for elders is that they be blameless, above reproach. But, you know, we're not doing right to the Scriptures that we say, well, that's good for them. If I don't have a sincere interest and I recognize the call upon me to be blameless, the last thing I want is to take any conscious thought of His gaze upon me. That's what the wicked think. The wicked, we don't want to be anything like them. The wicked go and they do the things they do because they don't think He sees. Just foolish. Oh, if I'm aware that He's there and I'm aware of His presence, oh, I might make a lot better decisions. And my life might be characterized by holiness and blameless more than it is because of that. I still remember a story told that there was a boy that went into a shop with his father, and it was like a five and, oh, do we even talk about things that have a five and dime store? I am old enough to kind of, I remember Woolworths. But anyway, so you go into these little shops, right, and the father goes in with his son and little boy, and they're walking around, they separate it, and the boy sees something that he really wants. He doesn't have any money, and he wants it. And so he kind of looks around, doesn't see anybody watching, so he takes it and puts it in his pocket. And as soon as he does that, he turns around, and there's his father. And I remember the brother that was making this point said, you know, that boy, he loves his father. But he certainly didn't love his father's appearing. He certainly didn't love his father's presence there at that moment. And what a difference it is that might very much move right into how we're living, the decisions that we're making, the way that we speak, the way that we think, the way that we spend our time, the way that we spend our money. Just all these things are just so very affected if I am aware of His gaze upon me at every moment. The Lord is coming, the one who is there in heaven before whom we walk, hopefully consciously, before whom we walk blamelessly. He's coming from there. And when He comes from there, how I want to be found walking blamelessly. Not just walking before Him, although I say, I don't know how much I would be willing to do that if I'm not willing to aspire and to progressively accomplish holiness in the fear of God. Oh, I want to be found to Him in that way when He comes. Brothers and sisters, maybe sometimes the coming of the Lord, it seems afar off. It seems like it's We just don't consider it much, but he could come like right now. And it's going to mean everything to us. It is going to mean everything to us how he finds us when he comes. He says, I'm here in heaven now, and I'm watching you. I want you to walk before me and be blameless. But I'm coming from here where I am now, and I'm coming for you. And I want, when I come, as John the Apostle would say, you know, let us abide in him, little children, that if he should appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And anyone who has this hope in him, of him coming, if anyone who has this hope in him of being made like him, purifies himself even as he is pure. Oh, it's going to mean everything to us that we took to heart such things and we began to truly take effort to walk before him and to be blameless. So as we finish up here, just there needs to come a point in time in our life as a Christian where we are walking before him and being blameless. There needs to come a point in time in my life as one who is in a right standing with God, as one who is positionally righteous. A point in time where I am living continuously in the sight of God and living in his sight in a way that is pleasing to him. And I use a biblical term, even fully pleasing to him. Blameless. This second conversation, if I could put it that way, it was necessary in my life. The Lord did not need to talk to me about coming into a right standing with him, but he did need to talk to me about walking before him and being blameless. And when that second conversation takes place, you know, and it may need to take place, we do well to take it to heart and to begin to be very purposeful, to aspire to such things, and to realize that conversation is a very wonderful and practical way for me to enter into this. And then to find out what it is that he has to say, what it is that he requires of me, and to do those things so that I can walk before him and be blameless. And what a joy it's going to be when he comes, if I'm found in such a place as that. And it's a joy for me even now, right? It's a joy for us even now. There's no better way to go through this life. There's no better pleasure than to give pleasure to the heart of God by doing these things. It returns on us in blessing upon our own head, joy in our own heart. It's just the way God is. That's just the way God is. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you so much for your love for us and for speaking to us and helping us to understand you and your ways. And we pray that even as your people, we would understand the call upon our life to walk consciously with this constant and increasing awareness of your gaze upon us, and to do this very practically by conversing with you, both in speaking to you and in listening to you to speaking with us. We pray that we would aspire to this, that we would be disciplined and purposeful about this, that we would make progress in this, and that we would have the joy of what it is to truly be aware that your gaze is upon us moment by moment. What a joy for us and a joy for you. But then to recognize that you're looking for us to be blameless as we walk before you. And you would speak to us as to how to do that. And we pray that we would not be unwise, but we would understand what the will of the Lord is, and that we would be diligent and aspire to walk blamelessly before you in our time here. And oh, the joy, everything it's going to mean to us when you come, Lord Jesus, that you found us in such a way as that. Oh, may we just be stirred up by your Spirit to this very thing, even to the joy of our own heart and to your glory. We just ask these things, Lord, in your name and for your name's sake. Amen.